before we go any further, I'd like to say a big thank you to John for sorting out the music this morning. You as you know, we are piano-less today. But thank you, John, for all the hard work you've done up there. And I'll just explain to you now about old Tom. And then Chris will be coming up to lead us in our main prayer.
Now, old Tom, he's over here. He's hiding behind the piano. And he's working very hard. He's making something for all of us, which we will present to you at the end of the service. Now, that might seem a bit strange. You can't see old Tom, because old Tom is in our imagination. But I can assure you that he's working very hard. Now, there are two people who you cannot see in the service this morning. One is our Lord Jesus Christ, who is always with us. And the second one is old Tom. Now, old Tom is making something. He's a craftsman. And he's a very good friend. So whatever you need made, just speak to old Tom. And old Tom will do it for you. You've got to have a rich imagination these days. Some of us have, some of us haven't. Sometimes mine flares up and goes quite berserk, as it has this morning with old Tom. So I do hope that you enjoy old Tom's work at the end of the service. And there are one or two things that are going to happen later on which you may be slightly amazed about. So first of all, we say, morning, Tom.
Morning.
How are you doing?
All right.
So that's good. He's here. We know he's working. So we'll leave you to it, Tom.
All right.
So Tom's away. So we're letting him get on with it. So Chris, would you like to come up and lead us in prayer, please?
The reading this morning comes from John chapter 11, and it's the death of Lazarus. Now, there are 57 verses in John chapter 11, and I don't propose to read all of them, but I've got quite a few to read here, so bear with me. And I'll be jumping through John 11, and I'll try and tell you where I am, so that if you have a Bible in front of you, you can follow with me. John chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. When he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for two more days. Then he said to his disciples, let us go back to Judea. Verse 21. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and he's asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. Verse 33. When Jesus saw Mary weeping, and the Jews that had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." Verse 38. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there's a bad odour. He's been there for 4 days. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped in strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." That is the word of God. Amen.
How are you getting on down here, Tom?
All right.
Can I do anything for you?
No, I'm all right.
Okay, now don't get nasty, Tom. I'm only asking. So you're okay?
Yeah, I'm all right.
And so things will be ready for later?
Yeah, of course they will. I won't let you down, boy.
Oh, well, that sounds good, doesn't it? So that's promising. So thank you, old Tom, for that. And I'd just like to say a few words about Jean. Because Jean has got a thought for the day. She has many thoughts for the day, and I usually get those first thing in the morning. So anyway, let's just welcome Jean up with her thought for the day.
Right, now then, some of you are aware that I come from Birmingham. You don't get many Birmingham people down here. In the years since 1963, since I moved down here, I have met only five. They tended to go down to Cornwall. And the Reverend Saunders' wife actually came from Birmingham for a place called Small Heath. So it was nice to meet a Brummie. So not only did I come from Birmingham, but I came from a district called Aston. Not very posh by any means. In the centre of Birmingham, where you had factories like H.P. Sorks, Hercules Cycles, Dunlop, all these places. And it was a very hard, tough area when I was younger. I also share this privilege with Ozzy Osbourne, the heavy metal man who passed away not so long ago. He came from Aston too. And also, just to you know, invite you to celebrate where I come from. I live round the corner from Aston Villa Ground. And those of you who enjoy football will know that Prince William is a supporter of Aston Football Club. So, got a lot going for it, Aston in Birmingham. Anyway, usually I talk to you a little bit about my life, which was during the war and the years after, and then have a thought for you to think about. I need to write it down because I'm of an age now where I can forget what I'm talking about halfway through a sentence, so I keep this just to make sure I'm okay. The world was a very different place when I was a child. Most of the children there lived in back-to-back houses and had to share one toilet with the families of at least seven other houses and had one tap to share between them too. Both of them were built at the bottom of a yard. We were rather posh because we had our own toilet, albeit in a brick-built building in our yard. But we had no electricity, no hot water, no bathroom, and certainly no central heating. But we had each other. We used to play in the streets, as gardens, if one had one, were far too small to accommodate a group of children. There was very little traffic in those days, so we were free to play out in the streets without fear of being running over. We played many games: football, chase, whip and top, marbles, various ball games, and hopscotch. Nearly every pavement was covered in chalk-drawn grids for playing hopscotch. And they remained there until it rained. And then they were promptly redrawn so we could carry on playing with it. We used to play there every evening after school until we were called in for bed. Children of all ages would play together, the spirit of camaraderie ever present. I remember breaking a window when the ball I threw finished up going through a pane of glass instead of into the hands for which it was intended. A group of girls stood next to me very closely while the lady of the house reprimanded me in no uncertain terms. And the boys ran to get my father to tell him what had happened. Needless to say that my father had to pay to replace a pane of glass. I joined the Girl Guides when I was 11. That summer was my first camp. Having no idea what to accept, I travelled there in the back of a furniture van with the back open, sitting on top of tents, kit bags and goodness knows what. The fumes were filling inside. There were no seats, let alone seat belts, and we were all suffering from travel sickness. We finally arrived, a large green field completely empty of any facilities. We had to assemble bell tents, washing facilities, which were bowls in stands, and toilets. Toilets consisted of digging a long trench in the field, which was enclosed with hessian walls and doors. No roofs on the top at all, completely open to the sea, to the sky. I was beginning to feel uneasy what I had got myself into, and where was the cooker? The captain heard me. We're just going to build a fire for cooking, she said. A large capital letter H was cut into the turf, and the older guides began to cut away at the roots of the turf until a very large rectangular shape bare roof earth appeared. And then they proceeded to build a fire with some sticks. We went to bed exhausted, dirty and partly dressed. The next morning, the farmer led his dairy herd into the field. Absolute bedlam. He'd forgotten we were there. The cows knocked everything over. We had to start all over again. Then it began to rain, and it didn't stop. And the field was gradually disappearing under the water, and we had to evacuate quickly to the village school. By Tuesday, I'd had enough and sent a letter to my mother to come and get me. Captain found out and made me write another one saying how much I was enjoying myself. My mother received two letters in the same post and she didn't know what to make of it at all. There were no phones in their day, so she couldn't phone up to see what was happening. But the older guides took the younger ones under their wings, and we all supported one another. And the holiday wasn't so bad after all. In fact, I rather enjoyed it. It was easy in those days to make friends. Communities relied on each other. Today, we tend to be more isolated and concentrating on our own lives. But these are the days that we need friends. Someone to talk to, someone to listen, someone to support us and help us along, someone to laugh with us and show us new things. And how do we find such a friend? Simple. By giving someone else the support and the encouragement they need. Jesus spoke to his disciples during the Last Supper. "A command I give you," he said, "love one another. As I have loved you, so must you love one another." And when Paul was writing to his letter to the Galatians, he emphasized what Jesus had said. "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Jesus Christ." Thank you.
Don't disturb old Tom.
Get out of the way. I didn't see it
yet.
Thank you, Jean. Another one of her impeccable thoughts for the day. Now, I want to tell you just a little bit more about old Tom. I hope you're using your imagination, and I hope it's running well, because he's still over there. He's still working hard for you. And what he's making for you, he's going to pack into cardboard boxes. Now, you've got to imagine the boxes, haven't you? And later on, Rob will be coming up to me on the podium here, and we will be distributing the imaginary cardboard boxes to each of you. It's complicated, isn't it? And we'll probably stand up here and throw them to you, so we expect you to catch them. And what will happen is we will ask you to unwrap all your boxes as we unwrap ours at the back here. And then Rob and I will appear on stage to thunderous applause. No, I didn't mean that. Rob and I will appear up here, and you'll get the gist of what it's all about then. So, anyway, I want to mention just a few words about Lazarus. As you know, the good Lord loved Lazarus so dearly, and Mary and Martha. And I think it's a marvellous thing that Jesus actually shed tears when he heard about Lazarus and when he went to the graveside. Lazarus was obviously a very special person, and he was obviously befriended by Jesus, as were Martha and Mary. And that brings us very, very closely, doesn't it, to the friendship that we feel to one another. And Lazarus had a lot of friendship to give to our Lord, and our Lord loved him dearly and gave lots of friendship back to him. There are many instances in the Bible where they mention the love of God and the love of the friendship and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost, and of course Jesus giving his life on the cross for us. The way that Lazarus was suddenly taken from Jesus must have been a terrible shock. And of course, Mary and Martha didn't delay in letting the good Lord know that Lazarus had passed away. But thankfully, as you know, with the power of God, Lazarus rose again and all was well. Now let's carry.
Excuse me, I'm going to go and have a rest.
speak to Tom. Tom, can you help me out?
Yeah, boy.
What's the matter? Well, the trouble is, Tom, that we've got a bit of a few cross lines here this morning.
Don't worry about it, boy. It'll work out all right.
Oh, thank you. Anyway, I've got a load of notes here, and I noticed from the clock that we've only got about another 10 minutes to go. So I'm going to have to go through these rather quickly. Anyway, we're all fortunate to have friends, and as we pass through the various stages of our lives, we seem to collect more as we go. Some friendships in our early school years sometimes came to an abrupt end, didn't they? Can you remember the age-old words, "I don't want to be your friend anymore"? And then, when we came out of the school gates, your friend would say to you, "Would you like to come round and spend some time around my house to play before we have our meal?" And that way you felt, "Ah, that's nice." Sometimes, if you had a big falling out, it might be a week before your friend or yourself would renew the special friendship you had, one with another. And then everything would return to normal. We have all experienced these times, and in the words of the song, "The best part of breaking up is when you're making up." These were special friendships that lasted for many years. Actually, I'm still in contact with a dear old friend called Bill, and we left Rochford Secondary School together in 1957, and we still are in contact with one another, and we have quite long chats, and it's good to speak to dear old Bill. And of course our late pastor David was a good and dedicated and faithful friend to many people in this country and abroad, and he and I enjoyed a friendship from the time he started his ministry in this church 55 years ago. I had a friend called Susan, and we used to share the same school desk. If she became worried or concerned during a lesson, I would put my arm around her. She used to sit this side, so I used to go like that. And I used to put my arm around her shoulders to comfort her. It was good to have comfort, a comfort hug, we used to call it. And we were at least 5 years old at that time. And I used to look after her. Isn't that nice? Still remember the school teacher's name. It was Mrs. Simpson. And she was very understanding. The school's in Hawkwell, but has long since been replaced by an expensive housing estate. Anyway, after progressing to Hockley Junior School, there were many friends to make again. Several of us moved on to Rochford Secondary School and remained good friends throughout our school years. I became a prefect in my third year at secondary school and remained so in my fourth year as well, which was our final year in those days. Some of my friends were a little more cautious of me as a prefect, but eventually they came to realised that behind the prefect badge was the same old Les. During that time, I met a man called Brian Gibson. And you probably remember Brian, who became the Reverend Brian Gibson. And he used to preach here quite often. And his parents and my parents and Brian and myself were good friends for many, many years. And sometime later, after we'd all left school, we had a meeting in a place called Boxford in Essex, on the Essex-Suffolk border. And it was a Christian rally, and we all went along there, and most of us went up on the Saturday afternoon and stayed until the Sunday afternoon. And in the evening, there was a rally in the market square. And Brian was preaching outside the public house, which was situated right on the market square. And as he was preaching at full throttle, he had a very loud voice. So the windows began to open, and people were coming to the windows to listen. Quite an experience to behold. At this Boxford weekend, many people from our Christian Endeavour came to stay for the weekend, as I've already mentioned. And you may remember some of them. Of course, there was the Reverend Hector Watson and his wife and daughter Jennifer. There was Brian Gibson, Roger Shelley. Anyone remember Roger Shelley? I believe he preaches in Southend now. You will remember this name, David Tyso. Yeah. David was one of those who came with us, and he had with us, with him, Norma, his wife. And then there was Trevor House. I don't know whether you remember Trevor, do you? And his wife, Sheila, myself and Doreen, who later became my wife, and Eric Jobson, and Wendy, who became his wife. And we also had a young man who used to always come along called Fred, but I can't remember his surname. But if you look in Romans chapter 16, verses 1 to 16, the good friends are mentioned and are well known as personal friends of Paul, because Paul, as you know, had many, many friends. And when he was writing the book of Romans, he mentioned several of them in there. Jesus had many friends from all walks of life who followed him and stayed close to him on many of his travels. When Jesus showed compassion to his followers, they knew they had a friend forever. I'll just tell you, we've got 5 minutes, so I'll just tell you a little story. When I was about 13 years old, we used to have a group of friends, and we were really close friends. We would do anything for each other, boys and girls, and we had a lot of fun, a lot of good times. And it became a few days before Guy Fawkes, November the 5th. So we said to each other, let's go out and have a penny for the guy. So we all looked at each other and said, that'll be a good idea. So we'll do that. So a little later, one of the chaps in the group said, we haven't got a guy. So Ronnie Vidler, who lived next door to me, said, don't worry about that. I'll dress up as the guy. So we dressed him up as a guy in a tatty old jacket and tatty old trousers and a torn shirt and all that sort of thing and an old cap. And we had a Guy Fawkes mask that we put on him. So anyway, we go out along the street, and I had one of these pull-along go-karts, and Ronnie was sitting in there. Anyway, we saw a lady in the street, so we went up to her and said, penny for the guy, madam, penny for the guy. But she looked round. Oh, she said, it's rather a good guy, isn't it? And she went closer. Oh, she said, I must look closely. And with that, Ronnie blinked. And the lady jumped back. She couldn't believe, there's a man in there, she said. And we had that reaction several times. And it was quite a laugh. Anyway, we've come to the time when we need to disturb old Tom. Are you ready, Tom?
Yeah, of course I'm ready.
Oh, that's good. Good, good. Right. Now, if I could just ask Lob if he would like to come up. Now, we're going over here and we're going to collect these boxes that Tom's got here. So here we are. Got those, yeah. I've got these, right. Here we go then. Right. Here we go. Can you... All right, don't you? Yeah. Okay. Good. There we are. Right. Okay, right. Put them on the table there. It's a nice stack of boxes. You see those boxes there? They got no names on them. We don't believe in advertising. Who said that? Anyway, what we're going to do now, we're going to pick these up one at a time, and we're going to throw them out to you, okay? So here we go. Comes number one. Good. Well caught, Anne. Well caught, the gentleman at the back. Well caught, eh? Oh, no, you didn't catch it, did you? You missed that one. There we are. There's one for Grace coming over. You caught it. Well done, Grace. One for Mac. One for Pauline. One for Linda. You've got two. Oh, there, got one back. Can you throw that one, Rob?
Who's that?
Because Linda's got one.
Oh, who's this one for?
Yeah, anybody. There we are, there's one for Brian.
Let's just pick them all up.
And there's one for Chris. Right, there's a few left. There we are. Have you got them? Yes, you've all got one. Right, now, we're going over here again. You can finish now, Tom.
Oh, no, I have.
Oh, okay, here we go. Now, we're all going to unpack our boxes together. Now, Rob and I, as we know Tom, he's just wrapped ours up like this, okay? So now we're going to unwrap it. So unwrap all your boxes together. Cool, look at that. Yeah, crinkling paper and all that sort of thing. Oh, gracious me. Right, so you've all unpacked your boxes? Right, now, we're going to stand over here now, and we're going to reveal what Tom has made for us. Can you all see?
No.
The hand of friendship. So that's it. That's what it was all about. Thank you, Rob. And thank you, Tom.
It's all right, boy.
So, dear Father, we thank you so much for giving us the enjoyment that you give us. We thank you for the blessings. We thank you for everything that you do for us. We thank you that we can come to you in prayer. We thank you that we can place our thoughts with you. We thank you for the guidance that you give us. Dear Father, we thank you for such a happy day. Amen.